Hey everyone, it's Angela Stevens, and I'm the podcast host to Refocus with Angela.com and also to Refocus Careers. And I am really excited because I finally talked my husband into being on this podcast because he's got a great background. On this podcast, we talk about different careers, different types of avenues that you might want to take if you're wanting to change careers, make a decision on where you're going if you're in college. So Gerald Sauber is going to talk to us a little bit about his journey. So thank you so much for joining us, and I can't wait to hear more about this.
Thank you, Angela, for inviting me.
Sure.
Today, I'll talk a little bit about being an engineer. There are many types of different engineers. I actually have a four-year degree from Kansas State University in mechanical engineering. But as I said, I mean, there's so many different types of engineering degrees and just engineers in general, from chemical, computer, electrical, industrial. I mean, the list goes on. Aeronautical. I mean, we could probably talk. And even today, there's probably a, I don't want to say a thousand more, but there's a lot more.
Right.
So I guess what I want to try to stress today is, even if you are studying and you're studying to be an electrical engineer or a mechanical engineer, don't think that you're going to get confined to that one little area, because there's so many different avenues that you can end up going to. And I got into mechanical engineering a couple of reasons. One, because my older brother did, and then my brother that was closest to me was an electrical engineer. So of course, okay, I'll be an engineer as well, because I don't know of anything else to do. So, you know, it's just one of those picks of the career at a certain time. And then I got into mechanical because I really liked working with my hands. And so to me, that was the fun aspect of it. But when it came to graduating and getting a job, then that really kind of gets you going as to which direction you might interest you or not. And for the most part, I don't even know if I want to say for the most part, and most mechanical engineers or engineers get into the design phase. You can get into the design phase, and that's a fun area to get into, designing, you know, components, designing bridges, designing all kinds of different things. And that can be really exciting and fun. For me, where I went in at, I got a job with a company and I started out as a field service engineer. And little did I really know what it was at the time. You know, what I knew is that I had a job and they were paying me, and that was exciting. But as I started learning more about it, as I went along, it really fit my aptitude perfect, because what a field service engineer does is you actually get trained on a certain style of equipment that company might be making. So if it was Caterpillar, you might get trained on all their heavy construction equipment and stuff, you know, or if it was like for Boeing, you might get trained on airplanes and how the airplanes are put together, run, and so forth like that. And so I was trained on a set of equipment, and the training that I did was quite extensive. I mean, it was pretty much of a 12-week class, and I actually went overseas for it. I spent time over in Italy and spent time in Austria. And then trained just out in the normal field with other engineers for a while. And to me, what I really liked about it is that I didn't throw my engineering knowledge away and degree away, because I was working on equipment. You would find certain things every time I went out to, or every time you'd go out to a plant, you might find the same bearing or same bushing or something wore out. And so, you know, usually that means it's under more stress, of course. And so, you know, there might needs to be a design change. So that allows you to use your knowledge to get back to the product company that's actually building the equipment, building the machines, and say, hey, you know, every time I go out, I keep seeing this bushing that needs to get replaced, you know, all the time, you know, it's always wore out, you know, and you start feeding information back to the product company about areas that they could actually improve the machine. And some of them, you know, they take, others they don't, and that's the way it is. But you get to work on equipment like that. And for me, since I liked working with my hands, that's what I really liked. I carried a toolbox with me. I went out and turned wrenches on machines and did preventive maintenance, did breakdown service. You actually got into some pretty heated discussions sometimes as you showed up at a plant, maybe, right, you know, 2 days after they called in about a machine being broke, and you're the face of the company. And so you got to kind of sit there and take your bruises from them before you go in and start working on the equipment. But then you got to go in and fix it.
So I want to stop you right there because I have a question. So you said that you went to Italy and you went to other places. A lot of students in college have anxiety about going overseas and taking a role like that. What was it about you that said, I want to do this? Or what would you say to a student that just was, you know, really under a lot of stress on making that decision?
You know, I guess I never really thought about it because, as I said, I wanted a job and they were offering me a job. During the interview process, they did say I'd be traveling. I think they said I'd travel maybe up to 50%, which, of course, you learn later in your career, that's usually a lie. Whenever they tell you you're going to be traveling, almost double it. And that's really about how much you're going to be traveling. So I guess I wasn't, I grew up, as Angela said, I grew up in Kansas. I was kind of tired of the cold winters, hot summers, and I wanted to see, you know, other parts of the country. So I wanted to kind of get out and get moving around. So the traveling aspect of it sounded fun. Traveling overseas sounded even funner, or more fun, I guess. And actually my first day in the job or my second, I think my second day in the job, I actually jumped on a plane and flew to Canada and did some training in Canada. So I started out right away and started traveling.
And that's exciting too.
I thought it was real exciting. And you were, a lot of times you traveled with other people. So you had to get along with other people. And, you know, a lot of little things like that you had to learn, man. You could get into so many things here. You know, like you go out with a group of four, you may not want to go to that restaurant, but if three of them do, well, okay, I'll eat there tonight. And so you have to get along with people.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes time to the bill, you know, some, you usually just split the bill up by the number of people that were at the table. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but that's just how it goes. I mean, you just kind of get along with that and you just keep moving forward. Don't let the little things bother you. Yeah. But the traveling piece of it was really fun. And once I got through with my training, was actually out on my own, where I'd just go out to plants by myself. I mean, I would travel easily 2 to 3 weeks at a time, come home for a weekend and then go back out on the road again. So I actually traveled. I traveled a lot. I was easily in a hotel over 300 nights a year, which is heavy traveling for, by most people's standards, it's pretty heavy traveling. And, but the nice thing is that you got a lot of airline perks. At the time I was flying Delta all the time, and I can't tell you a time there wasn't, I can't say there was very few times where I wasn't automatically upgraded to first class. And so I flew first class a lot. And let me tell you, when you're a 26-year-old, 27-year-old kid flying first class with flight attendants giving you beer, and it's you look back and think, man, I can't believe they're actually stupid enough to pay me to do this. It's like, they really know how much fun I'm having.
Right.
But if you don't even want to do that, so that's kind of the extreme traveling. You could also become a sales engineer, and a sales engineer could be even for that same company. You might get trained in a similar fashion over that same piece of equipment, but you're going out and actually selling that equipment to people. You don't work on it, but you sell it, and you got to have that engineering and technical background to be able to talk about it and to be able to go into other people's plants and talk to their engineering group and their engineering team and their maintenance operation and stuff, and be able to talk to them about that piece of equipment, how it works, what they're going to have to be doing. So that's a whole nother area you could get into besides the design phase. So, you know, there's a lot of different areas. I mean, I look back at my career and where I am today is totally different than where I started out at, but it's been such a fun career. And I look back and just think about how much fun I had, and I wouldn't have changed anything if I could have.
Wow. So, when you were in school, what was it that made you interested in engineering? Because, you know, people, a lot of students will go to school and say, I'm going to be an engineer, but they really don't have an idea of what area they want to go to. So what was it that made you decide, I'm going to go on the mechanical side?
Well, like I said, I think my biggest driver was that I liked working with my hands. So in high school, I worked on cars a lot, and I enjoyed doing that. I mean, let's face it, as I'm old, and a lot of us older people realize the cars we had back then broke down and you had to learn how to work on them, you know, right, either on the side of the road or in your driveway. And I enjoyed doing that. And I had uncles that did that. I had an uncle that owned a body or an auto shop, and he worked on cars. And I had, I think, two other uncles that sold auto parts. And so maybe it was in my blood, I'm not sure. But to me, it was just something that I liked to do. And that was all really mechanical stuff. And so to me, it really wasn't that much of a choice when I came down to all the different types of engineering. I wanted to go mechanical because that's what I thought what I'd like the best. And I'm glad I took that route.
So when companies are interviewing candidates that are in school or out of school, what do they look for? What is it that they like? Is it the grades? Is it the classes? Is it your personality? Is it your technical knowledge? I know it's a ways back, but do you remember even today, because you interview a lot of people in your job today in different types of roles? So back then, if you can remember, you know, what was it that they were looking for? And then today, what do you look for when you hire people?
So I think it's a basket of goods. I mean, you're of course going to look at the GPA. GPA tells mm-hmm. employers how well they study, how well they apply themselves to a particular subject, no matter what subject that is. And the lower the GPA, you never eliminate someone because of that, but it definitely raises a little bit more flags. Yeah. Personality is another one. You know, how well they're going to talk to you, how well they communicate. If you're just getting yes or no answers, you know, it kind of tells you their communication skills may not be the best. Once again, doesn't necessarily rule them out, but just kind of tells you a little bit more about someone. I know in the old days, you know, they always said have eye contact, and that's kind of the way I was growing up. I grew up, yeah. I had eye contact, but man, I have to say most kids I interview today, their eye contact isn't that great. Doesn't mean we're not going to hire them. They're still smart. They still know what they're doing.
Right.
But that shift has kind of changed a little bit. So, you know, personality is a lot of it. I mean, people want to like who they work with. They don't want to work with people they don't like. And so be friendly, be nice. Don't be afraid. I mean, I know it's kind of scary and intimidating at times, but hey, life is fun.
Right. We have an interesting story that I wanted to share with you. You, if you recall, when we met and we got married, you had said that you two things. You thought you wanted to be an architect.
Yes.
Right. Share with us that piece. You took an internship, right?
Yeah. So that's a good point. So what do you want to do? Okay. So I had two older brothers that were going down the engineering path, and I really liked to draw. And that was fun. I took a lot of drafting classes in high school, and I enjoyed it. I did great, got straight A's through it. It was easy. And so, and I knew you could be an architect, and you can even be an engineering architect or architectural engineer. So you have that engineering piece of it there too. And when I was in the 11th grade, I had the opportunity to go to a local company and draw house plans for the summer. And it was through the school. So I had to do it through the school. It was and I was going to be doing that the following year as a senior for one of my classes in the afternoon as well. You'd continue to do that internship. The thing that was interesting I found out is that after doing that for a summer, I found that I didn't like sitting in a room. And in my case, there were no windows. And I basically drew lines on a piece of paper all day long. I found that although I still liked to do the drawings and I learned so much information, I didn't want to do it. So that internship, you know, as little as it was back then, really kind of helped me define my career and where I was going. And I was actually able to use what I did for that internship because the following senior, when I was a senior, I needed to take one more class. So I took the architectural drawing class and I mean, it was a breeze. I probably could have taken the final on the first day and passed it because I'd already been drawing house plans up, you know, for 3 months and so. So, but, you know, it was a great way of letting me know that that's not what I want to do. And I encourage, you know, all kids, if you want to, you know, think about doing something like that, try that path. You know, it's kind of hard. You know, if you're young, you know, wants you to have fun, go work at In-N-Out, go work at Sonic, go work at someplace fun and enjoy it. But at the same time, you know, you might want to figure something out and get a little bit of experience and see if that's something you want to do.
Right. And also talk to people. If you find people that are alumni from the school that you're in, that are in those departments, or you reach out to them, people overall are pretty open to talking to you about their careers. You know, if you talk to them and ask very nicely, I think they're willing to give that back. But
Definitely so
that's one piece that I would add. Before I let you go, I have to ask one more question. So you had shared, I could talk to him all night long, but no comment anyway. But here's what I wanted to ask you. You had traveled internationally, and a lot of people do not get this information or training. But can you share with us a couple of the characteristics and examples of what you do if you meet someone from Japan or from China or from some of those examples? Because I don't think that we share that in college or elsewhere.
Well, no. So I'll go to two different ways. I'll step back a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So when I went over to Europe, I wasn't supposed to be with the group that I went with. They didn't actually like one of the people that were in there, and so I got kind of advanced up just for lack of them not having someone to fill that group. So I actually had probably a 7-day notice that I was going to Europe, and flew home from Canada, actually flew down to Houston, got a passport, flew back. Can't do that these days, I don't think, a passport in 24 right. hours, but you might be able to. I'm not certain I'm up on that. But anyway, so the group of six that I went over to Europe with, we knew nothing. We'd never been over to Europe before. We couldn't speak any foreign languages. And, you know, this is back in 1990 when even a lot of people, we were in smaller cities, so even a lot of people in the smaller cities didn't speak English. So it was a big learning experience for us. And I think part of that from a company standpoint, it was a global company, is they actually want to see how well are you going to survive? You know, are you going to, you know, get tired after a week, or, you know, get frustrated okay. after 2 weeks and call and want to come home? Or are you going to figure out, you know, how to keep working forward and how to keep pushing forward? And all of us, you know, figured out how to keep pushing forward. And we were with a good group of kids. There were six of us. We broke up like in pairs of two, and we learned a lot. And I mean, that kind of taught me a lot about, you know, just getting along and working and how to communicate with people. And I look back on it now, and I even look back on it these days, and when I grew up, I never gave learning a foreign language that right. much credibility. But man, I give anybody that knows a foreign language today a huge credibility. And I've met people that know.
I highly recommend it. If you're in college, take another course. You never know, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know people that know 5, 6, and 7 languages and can speak them fairly fluently. And it just amazes me how people are able to do that. And I wish I was able to, but I don't. I can only speak. Well, actually, Angela, I didn't think I speak English sometimes. So. but otherwise, you'll learn a lot of things throughout your career. And one of the things I think Angela was kind of pointing to is with
Chinese
culture and business cards, how in some cultures, when you're giving a card to someone from China or Japan or an Asian culture, you want to hold it in your hands like this and present it to them with both of them facing forward. Sorry.
They didn't understand either. Yeah,
with both of them facing forward, and they're going to take it from your hands like this, and they're going to read your card. And then they're going to present their card to you the same way. And they expect you to take their card and read it as well. And it's, you know, to their customs, they want you to, you know, they're taking time to see exactly what you do and what your name is. And they expect the same out of you. And so, and that's just one example of probably hundreds that I've learned over the years. But
be open and watch how other people act. And pick up on those cues, because a lot of people have never heard of what you just did. And so I think that is so valuable. But I hope our listeners have enjoyed this, because a lot of times kids say they're going to be engineers, but they don't really know what that means and what's coming, right, with the role. So
and like I said, it can be a number of things. And even if you start out being, you know, a sales engineer and you may find you don't like it. I mean, you can easily switch to some other type of an engineering role. So
right.
I've always said the engineering role is you have a lot of options available.
Okay. So our last question, I always say this, if you were going to do anything, anything in the world that you wanted to do that you're not doing today, that even a pipe dream, what would it be?
A career wise?
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Oh, easy. PGA Tour golfer.
Knew it. Knew it. I knew it. And I didn't even ask him. So
talk about an easy life. I'm going to play golf 6 days a week and get paid for it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Perfect. Listen, this is awesome. I hope it's helped you. I hope it helps a lot of parents. One item I do want to mention, we have a college scholarship timeline products that we have at our company, which is time2refocus.com. It helps them kind of plan out their career. Take a look at that. But again, thank you, Gerald. This is great and I really appreciate it.
No, you're very welcome.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus Careers. If you're looking for career coaching, check us out at refocuscareers.com. If you have a young adult that is just not sure what they want to do in life, check us out at refocuscareers.com. And we actually have gift certificates that you can actually buy a gift certificate for your young adult and give them a gift that will change their life.